as you go along your way, this is what you're supposed to do. If you can get baptized in living water, then do that. And you think, oh, what's living water? That means water that's running. If you can get baptized in a stream or a river and not get washed away, then hey, get baptized in living water. It's a great thing to do. If you can get baptized in a pond, that's a great thing to do. If you can get baptized in the sea, great thing to do. If you can get baptized in a bowl, a large bowl receptacle, that's a great thing to do. They don't seem to be bent out of shape about how much water is actually present. For them, as it is for me, as it should be for all of us, I really believe, it's actually a heart issue. Hi, good day to you. And today, at some point, we are going to be doing a baptism in the church. And I thought it might be an idea to look for a few minutes at what baptism actually is in the Bible, and traditionally a bit, so that we maybe get some sort of reasoning about why we're actually doing this. Now, baptism turns up before Jesus turns up in the Bible, actually through a man called John the Baptist. There's a hint in his name, right? John the Baptizer, John that went around baptizing people. And Jesus went to him in Matthew chapter 3, and also in Mark chapter 1, and in Luke chapter 3, to be baptized. Now, John, the Gospel of John, the fourth Gospel, he doesn't talk about Jesus' baptism specifically, but he talks about a scene and scenario around a baptism scene. So out of obedience and following in the footsteps of Jesus, people who want to be followers of Jesus feel it's a good thing to be baptized. And also then the disciples are challenged by Jesus too in Matthew 28, what people call the Great Commission. He says this, go into all the world, and as you are going through all the world, preach the gospel and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As you go along your way, this is what you're supposed to do. But what is strange to me, and many things are strange to me, but what is strange to me is that nowhere when it mentions baptism in the Bible does anybody go, bap what? What's baptism? They all seem to know. They all seem to be familiar with this thing, baptism. And honestly, in our culture, it seems that people have a vague idea of what baptism is. Now, if you're thinking, well, people don't, what about the expression, it's a baptism of fire? You hear about that all the time. People who are miserable, some people say, yeah, he looks like he was baptized in vinegar. Baptism is a phrase that we're aware of. Now, in tradition, in Old Testament tradition, way back in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were brought out of captivity and slavery, they went down through this Red Sea and came back out. And they look back on that as this baptism symbol, symbolic representation of baptism later on. And Paul actually references that in one of his letters, but we don't want to get into all that technicality. So the disciples are told to do it. Jesus does it, so we want to follow his example. But also, the disciples, like in Acts chapter 1, Peter stands up after the day of Pentecost and says to the people, hey, listen, turn to God and be baptized. And again, nobody goes, what's baptism? They all seem to know. And then in Acts chapter 8, when a guy called Peter is talking to an Ethiopian eunuch that he meets on the road, they come across some water, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, hey, here's water, why don't I get baptized? And he seems to understand what that baptism actually is. And actually, that's a good thing to remember when we're actually studying the Bible. If something isn't explained in great detail, it's probably because when the people were having it written to them in the time it was written, it was a common understanding. So it didn't need to be over-explained. Now, to us, a couple of thousand years later, then some of these things may need to be explained a little bit more. But baptism is clearly more than just getting wet. But it's also clearly not equal to salvation itself. Do you know what I mean? So it's more than getting wet, but it's a little bit less than the initial decision to follow after the teachings of Jesus and to ask him to be the boss and Lord of your life. So what actually is baptism? Where does it fall then? Now there are two very big debates and controversies around baptism. Very big ones. And this is, it's weird how people get all weird about baptism. And they fall into these categories. Do we totally immerse or dunk people underneath water, or do we sprinkle water on their head? Do we do it with infants, or do we do it with adults? And those are the two controversies. And believe me, wars literally were fought over this. People were burnt at the stake, persecuted, chased from country to country to country over these two issues. It seems a bit strange, right, in the 21st century that people would be so wound up about these two issues. But people actually still are, right? So I want to look at them really quickly and really carefully. Now, the first one is this. Do we dunk people or do we sprinkle them with water? You know what? A very smart man called Rick Watts introduced me to the idea that we should never argue over the amount of water that is present at somebody's baptism. And I found that a really helpful way to look at it. Baptism is a heart issue. I am deciding to follow Jesus' example to be baptized. I'm deciding to do something in obedience to him. I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about how much water is present when I do that. It's a heart issue, all right? Now there's this old teaching book. Yeah, right? It's called the Didache, and it's one of the earliest teaching books on Christianity. Some scholars even date this around like 50 AD, others a lot later, but some scholars say it's 50 AD, and it's supposed to be the original teaching of the 12 disciples, and they talk about baptism in here, all right? And what they say, listen, this is what they say. They say, If you can get baptized in living water, then do that. And you think, well, what's living water? That means water that's running. It's all it means. If you can get baptized in a stream or a river and not get washed away, then hey, get baptized in living water. It's a great thing to do. If you can get baptized in a pond, that's a great thing to do. If you can get baptized in the sea, great thing to do. If you can get baptized in a bowl, a large bowl receptacle, that's a great thing to do. And they say if there's not much water around, just pour it on people's head. That's what they say in here. They don't seem to be bent out of shape about how much water is actually present. For them, as it is for me, as it should be for all of us, I really believe it's actually a heart issue. All right, so let's never get too worried about that. Now, they also have loads of different things that they say about how you enter the water, how you should be dressed and all this. And it's all suggestions. It's just saying, hey, if we were in a perfect world, this is how we would love to do it. But often we can't. All right. And often we can. So we do it in whichever way we can to respect the person's heart condition as they become a follower of Jesus through the waters of baptism. Now then, the other one is this. Is do we baptize babies or adults? That's a big question. It's a big one. It's a biggie. But for me, how I look at this is whose choice is baptism? You see, if I'm carried into a church as a baby, kicking and screaming and yelling, and I'm baptized, that's not my choice. That's my parents'. And it's a great choice for them to do. It's a wonderful thing to do. Have everybody gathering in the church and celebrate the life of a child. It's a great thing. And they baptize the child. Now, later, if I was baptized as a child, later, I might think, no, I want to grab hold of that baptism because it means something to me. And I want to affirm the fact that I was baptized. I want to grab it and grab hold of it and own it as mine. And that's wonderful. And I know lots of people who have done that. other people say, well, yeah, that was my parents' choice. And to show that I agree with that, I am going to get baptized myself, my choice. I'm going to do this. Now, what's strange is then people say, well, that's another baptism. And that's actually where historically the church gets the name Anabaptist. Another baptism. Another baptist. And Anabaptists can be traced back to the beginning of like Mennonite Brethren denominations, and different denominations would trace their roots back to the Anabaptist people, and they were chased all over the world because it was thought to be quite rebellious to baptize somebody again after they were baptized as the infant, because it seemed that people were saying, but if you baptize them again, you're implying that what was done by a priest or a vicar or a minister when the baby was little is insufficient. And maybe they were, maybe it's semantics, I don't know. But to me, again, it's a reflection of a heart issue that, yeah, I was baptized as a baby, but now as an adult, this is my choice and I want to be baptized, right? Now, again, if you're gonna dip somebody, you can't submerse a baby. That's just cruel, right? It's wrong. So, and maybe, depending how bad you've been, no, we won't go there. But I was thinking maybe if you've been really bad, maybe they should hold you under longer. But that means I would never have come up. Okay, so we can't hold people down. He was a bad one, hold him down. You know, we can't do that. So we baptize people, and it's a symbolic reference to being laid down in a grave and then being raised to a new life and a new beginning. And in fact, one of the traditional interpretations of why people in the Bible weren't confused by the notion of baptism is because some people say that historically it was how slaves changed ownership, which I rather like, actually, because I used to be a slave to my old habits and my old anger and my old vengeance and all of those things. But now I've changed ownership. That was what I used to belong to. Now I belong to Jesus. Now I belong to the Son of God. Now I belong to somebody who's radically changed my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a change of ownership. And I rather like that as an idea. It's a great thought, right? I go down, it's a symbolic way of being buried and then being raised to this new beginning and a new life. And that is exactly why we do it now. That's why we do it. It's a symbol. But it's more than just getting wet. What you're doing is you go into that water. It's like I'm leaving all my old habits there. That's I'm dying to that. That's all being buried. And when I come back out, it's a new start. It's a new start. I come back out of the water and it's a new start from now. And I can look back to this day as this is the day that I chose to have a new start. And it's quite an important day to look back on. I remember my baptism. It was in an old black galvanized steel water tank in a rough hole in the middle of a floor. And when you stood on it, it went doing, 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 doing. Hey, but it still worked. It still worked. The water was freezing, but it still worked. I got baptized and it was a meaningful thing for me. It's a symbol of I'm handing over my life to somebody else. I'm deliberately doing this. Somebody once said, a very smart person, smarter than me, somebody once said, only a truly free man can decide to be a slave. Only a truly free human being can decide to be a slave. And when I submit myself to being baptized, I give ownership of my life over to somebody else. That's what I do. I give it over to Jesus, not to an authoritarian structure, not to a an, uh, uh, an oppressive group, but I give the authority of my life over to Jesus. And that's why some people get baptized. There's another way of looking at it. People just say, well, I want to be obedient in this. It's a big deal to get baptized. And hey, you know, actually the act of baptism, I'm out of control. Like I put my hands like this, somebody's going to tip me back in the water. I'm out of control. And it's almost a little bit like that trust test where people fall back off a desktop and people catch them. It's, hey, I'm out of control. I'm doing this in obedience. And you go back in the water in faith, believing they're going to pull you back out again. So don't annoy the people who are going to baptize you. And then another way is that we invite friends to come and see us do this, so that they can actually see, hey, I'm taking this seriously. This is not just a fad in my life. This is something I am deeply long-term committed to for the rest of my life. I'm committed to following this historical figure who we believe is still alive through the Holy Spirit. And I'm committing my life to follow him and his teachings. It's a great thing to do. And also what it does, it gives us this sense of connection with everybody else on the planet who has been baptized. Historically too. So as I go down in the waters and I come back up, hey, I'm historically connected to John the Baptist. I'm historically connected to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. I'm historically connected to Peter and the disciples and the apostles and all the people that came after who have been baptized. It's a great thing to do. But again, the most important thing to remember, this is a heart issue. It's not about how much, how wet, or how deep, or how long you're in the water. It's a heart issue. And I hope and pray today for you and me, continually ongoing, that I make a committed heart decision to follow Jesus as my Lord and my Savior and my boss and my friend and my strengthener and all of the other things that he brings into my life. If it was good enough for these guys, the original apostles, if it's good enough for the people who wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if it was good enough for Jesus to go and get baptized, I'm pretty sure it's good enough for me. And I want to do it. And I have done it. And I'm also really, really pleased when other people want to do it. And if that's something you want to consider, hey, just talk to somebody about it. Phone your pastor, phone somebody, phone one of the elders and ask them, say, hey, I want to be baptized. Explain it to me. What does it mean to us? Right? Hey, bless you. Thank you for listening. And hopefully right after this, we're going to have some, we're going to be going to the river and I'm going to be baptizing someone. Bless you. Stay safe.
We just had a bear come out, say hi. The water is crisp and cold and it's going to be, this is life changing. So thank you all for being a part of this and, you know, adding so much love to my life.
Elton, do you believe that Jesus is God's one and only Son?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
You believe that he rose again on the third day to newness of life?
Yes.
And you confess him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.
Right down.
If you heard the light is in the law of the Lord, and in his law you will meditate day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, and your leaves also shall not wither, and whatever you will do will prosper.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
That's great, David. Awesome.
Let me ask you the same three questions. Do you believe that Jesus is God's one and only Son?
Absolutely, 100%.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins?
Yes, I do.
You believe that he rose on the third day to new life, defeating death?
Yes, I do.
And you confess him as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, I do.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you.